Kelly looked at the familiar little house near the Huangpu River. Some of the tension she'd been feeling for the last few weeks, months, and years melted away. She was home. She stepped up to her father's door, thinking that it looked smaller than it had when she'd been a little girl. Kelly checked her watch and saw that it was after 7 a.m. Her father always got up at 4:30 to go fishing. It was possible he was still out fishing, but it seemed unlikely. Her knocking still greeted with silence, Kelly went around to the back of the house. If things were still as they were when she was a small girl, she knew there were neighbors who were watching her. That didn't matter, though. No one would call the police unless something happened. Her father would allay any suspicions among his neighbors. She stepped up to the back door. Feeling uneasy, Kelly walked to her father's stone garden and sifted through the raked pebbles. The extra key turned up near the right corner of the garden. Returning to the door, Kelly opened the lock and stepped inside. The house was small and neat. Her father had kept the curtains her mother had made, and the furniture looked the same. From the hallway, Kelly looked through the door to the tiny kitchen where she had learned how to cook, then into the small dining room where they had sat on cushions and shared meals. The living room was immaculate. Her father's collection of vinyl records stood in the corner. He'd never had a television in his home, but there had always been music. She was beginning to think that her father had gone out, perhaps to breakfast. Then she saw the blood. Kelly's heart began hammering, but she steeled herself quickly. Panicking wouldn't do any good. She drew one of the pistols and held her position, taking the time to calm herself and to listen for breathing. Girding herself, guessing what she was going to find, Kelly slid the bedroom door aside and entered the room. The bedroom was small and neat. Her mother's vanity, her one luxury, occupied a corner of the room. The bed took up most of the space. Her father lay on the bed with a pained expression on his still face. Blood covered his body and the twisted sheets. Sharp emotions collided within Kelly. She was careful to breathe through her mouth, unwilling to take in the scent of her father's death. Walling off the pain and confusion, she relied on her training and experience. Crossing the room to her father's side, taking care to stand away from the windows even though they were covered, she touched her father's face. He was cold. Looking at his neck, Kelly saw that the blood had started to settle. No longer pumping through his heart, the blood pooled and created a definite stripe, separating the pale blood-drained area from the blood-gorged area. Kelly froze, then took a step back, sinking against the wall and raising her weapon toward a shadow in the hallway. Her feet were yanked out from under her. Pain flared through Kelly's left ankle as her attacker continued to yank on it. He had been hiding under the bed. Luckily, she felt the comfortable weight of the pistol in her hand. Turning her head, she could see the man was young and looked vicious. He held a nickel-plated pistol in his other hand.
Give up!
Her attacker tugged on Kelly's leg again, pulling her toward him and crawling on top of her legs. Shoving the pistol only inches from her would-be captor's face, Kelly squeezed the trigger. He died with a look of surprise frozen on his cruel features. Kicking free of the dead man's hand, Kelly lay on her side and extended her gun arm. From the sound of the footsteps in the other room, she judged that more than one man was in the house. Sure enough, a man appeared in the doorway, his weapon pointed before him, aiming too high. He had enough time to realize his mistake, but not to adjust for it. The two bullets tore through his heart, sending him to the floor. Kelly scrambled to her feet. With her pistol tucked in close to her body at almost shoulder height, she moved forward with her profile turned to the door, making herself as small a target as possible. She wished she had a Kevlar vest. Turning the corner, she saw a third man stood at the far end of the hallway. He held a machine pistol in his hands and opened fire as soon as he spotted her. Kelly dove back into her father's bedroom. The bullets chopped at the doorframe, then slapped into the dead man lying half in and half out of the door. The thin walls couldn't offer any resistance to the hail of bullets. Instead of waiting for the man to realize that, she took deliberate aim with the pistol, guessing at the man's location. Having silenced the man in the hall, Kelly took a moment to feed a fresh magazine into her weapon. Kelly looked over at the corpse of the first man she had blown away. The skin of his thick arms was covered with multicolored tattoos. Gangsters. Her father couldn't have anything to do with Triad members. Yet this was the only thing that the tattoos covering the man's arms could mean. The sound of the window opening in the other room sent her crashing back to reality. Kelly rose and ran forward. She reached the doorway, her gun before her, just in time to see the gunman getting to his feet outside. He took off in a sprint toward the backyard. Instead of following through the window, Kelly raced to the back door. Pausing, she held the pistol beside her head and peered out across the yard. The gunman vaulted over the low wooden fence in the back and raced north along the narrow alley. Kelly plunged through the doorway and crossed the yard. She threw a leg forward and vaulted like a hurdler. Landing on the other side, she dropped into a three-point crouch and spotted the gunman ahead of her. He whirled around and brought up the machine pistol. A handful of bullets peppered the low fence and tore chunks from the earth as Kelly rolled to cover behind a wall of brush across the backyard of the neighboring house. The man was out of bullets. Angrily, he threw the pistol down and ran full tilt toward the alley mouth. Kelly gave only brief consideration to killing the man. She had her sights over his back. It would be an easy matter, a simple squeeze of the trigger. Instead, she pushed herself to her feet and ran after him. She had questions, and a dead man couldn't answer them. The man reached the street first and stood looking wildly for a moment, traffic passing in front of him. He turned left and took off again. Kelly reached the corner, feeling her breath tight in her lungs. She dropped the pistol to her side as neighbors peered out from the windows and doors of their homes. She pushed herself into motion, but before she had gone three steps, a small sedan cut across traffic and bucked up over the curb. The running man threw open the door and dove inside. The driver slammed the gas and the car tore away, cutting through the slower-moving traffic. Unable to pursue, Kelly memorized the tag number out of habit. It was useless, though. Here in Shanghai, she didn't have the connections she needed to trace a vehicle. Furthermore, she could be certain that the murderers had stolen it to use in the commission of their crime. That was, after all, what she would have done if she were in their shoes.